And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please have a seat.
All right. And as we are excited to be here on this night looking at our building, what we're going to do is, as elders, come forward and talk a little bit about different aspects of our property, the building, the future, and what you can expect looking forward to hopefully get you excited, get you praying, get you thinking about the future of FBC. Now, I'd like to begin, however, by taking us back in time into a history of our church. Now, for most in this room, this represents your church. Feels like family, doesn't it? Feels like home. Maybe it's even hard for you to remember days where FBC wasn't your church home, because God has grown you in so many wonderful ways since the time before you were part of this body of believers. That's the story for a lot of us in this room. But understand that this church did have a beginning, and it really wasn't that long ago. And so I wanted to say, if the only FBC you've ever known has been here in this building, then pay attention as I take us back in time to the early days of our church. And by the way, the secret's out, because you came tonight and you've been coming to Family Nights, and that sign out on the corner that says Bella Vista Middle School, it's usually covered with the FBC sign. Now you actually know this isn't our church and our building, right? So I'm sorry that you had to figure that out the hard way. But anyway, Faith Bible Church began in 2003, September to be exact, just over 14 years ago, right here in our valley, but not here at Bella Vista. Our very first Sunday, there were about 50 adults and roughly 20 kids who gathered together to worship and Rod and Beth Shackelford's house in West Marietta. We met outside, sitting in their backyard. John Stead rode around on an old-school 10-speed bike directing traffic with the old-school one with the little plastic kid seat in the back sticking straight up. That was how we arranged traffic that first Sunday morning. Just curious, if you were around in those days, would you just slip your hand in the air just to see? Yeah, there we go. These people are old. Okay, there you have it. Our church was planted with a desire to bring biblical teaching to this valley. And it was composed of mostly young families who were hungry for the Word of God, for solid leadership, and for a church where lay people and all people alike would be able to serve and lead and use their gifts. Well, within a few weeks, we realized we couldn't meet at Rod and Beth's house forever, and so we rented a building in the industrial area off Winchester and Diaz on the west side of Temecula. Now, the highlight of that particular building was a pillar that existed. Basically, it'd be right here in this third seat, straight up. And so if you were behind that, you would have to look to one side or the other, same thing on the other side, to see the preacher as he moved back and forth. The other memory of that was the fact that from the auditorium, you could hear the babies crying in the nursery, and you could identify if it was your child crying through the walls. So that was not exactly ideal. Marcelo Tolopilo, our first teaching pastor, began a series on the epistle to the Ephesians that took us maybe, how many years to get through? 6 years. 6 chapters, 6 years. But they were amazing times for our, he didn't finish, Chris finished. That's correct, okay. They were amazing times for our young church as people were stretched in unique ways to meet all the demands of a budding and growing community of believers. It wasn't uncommon for the same person to serve as part of the setup crew, teach in our Sunday school hour, serve in children's ministry during church, vacuum the floor and clean the bathroom, and be part of the praise team all in the same morning. That was kind of the life of our church. To give you a little bit more detail, our first praise team was led by Robert Dodson on guitar, a very pregnant Tracy Farrell on lead vocals sitting on a red stool, Polly Maitland rocking out on the bass, and John Stead on the drums. Simple songs. I think we did God of Wonders every single week. If you've heard the story of Robert playing with the boom mic like this, and one Sunday it just started lowering on him, and so he kept singing, and he kept singing, and he kept singing, and then finally he had to stop because it got too low. But anyway, we had all sorts of fun back in those days. There were simple songs, straightforward expository preaching, selfless service, and a welcoming attitude of love marked our early Sunday mornings. Our children's ministry was also led by Robert and consisted of mostly younger children because we were a church of younger families. But if you were attending FBC at any level, whether or not you had kids of your own, you were serving in the children's ministry. That was a part of what we did. And by the way, after Robert and Tracy filed through the ranks of children's ministry, we had John Beth Plesnick in there, then the Bairds, and then the Hubs, if you remember the Hubs, and now we have Pat Wilkes and his wife, Eleni. Well, from the very beginning, the next generation has been a priority for this church. That's never wavered. I remember our first Wednesday night meeting with our junior high and high school ministry, which met together in John Stead's garage. It was combined in those days, and John and myself shared the leadership load. We had our wives alongside, Nikki Richardson, who is the most faithful high school, junior high staff person of all time, and then Pat Wilkes as well, who is the ultimate staff person. And by the way, this was when Eleni was about 11, so it worked out really well. But that's beside the point. Now, that first night, we had, listen carefully, 11 students total for all of our junior high and high school. But the ministry, along with the church, started growing. Students brought their friends. Their friends came to camp. God saved them. Families began attending with their students. The families began getting saved, and we saw the Lord work in amazing ways. It's really cool to think that our two most recent high school pastors, Morgan Maitland and Josh Petrus, grew up at FBC, went entirely through our youth group and our ministry here. By the way, Wednesday nights right now, you can find about 60 junior hires crammed into that same garage at John Stead's house, just tearing that thing to pieces. They're like a demolition crew every week, locusts coming through there. And about somewhere around 80 high school students at our midweek facility in Temecula. It's amazing. But anyway, back in those days, the church was growing. And we had an issue with that building because we were violating the fire code. And so we began looking for a new place to meet. And we found a school on the other side of Winchester, north of Marietta Hot Springs. It was an elementary school. The only problem was that it was being used by another church in the mornings, and so we moved our Sunday morning service to 1:30 p.m. in the afternoons on Sunday. And the best two memories of that place were the really small stalls in the toilet, because it was an elementary school, the small chairs we sat in. And one Sunday morning, Peter Spires up preaching, and a side door was open for coolness in there. And I'll never forget the wind coming across and taking his entire manuscript and blowing it across the room in the middle of his message. So anyway, it wasn't long before this location opened up for us, and we joyfully moved in. That was in 2004, is that right? Yeah, wow, that's a long time ago. The Muellers, Chris and Jean, joined us in 2006, and it was like pouring gas onto the fire. And when we think of the relational center of our church, we commonly today think of our community groups. And if you've been around long enough, you know that they used to be called RMGs, which I have no idea what that even stands for anymore. It was something about rocket-propelled, what is it again? No, I'm just kidding, regional ministry gatherings. But before that, there was something called, does anybody remember? Called D groups, that's right. Something from Chris's junior high ministry years ago, and he kept the name. And so at 5 o'clock in the morning every week, men would gather together at his house off of Benton to meet together, and women would meet there at different times. And this was the way that we chose to shepherd our people, through deliberate, transparent, accountable small groups. And really that set the stage for the life-on-life environment that is still the heartbeat of our church even today. Well, there's a ton more that could be said, and I'm running out of time, but you could think of Saturated, our Saturday night service. You could think of the training center. You could think of moving from one service to two services. You could think of the gospel, or the Epistle of Ephesians, of 1 Peter, of Mark, of the life of Christ, of Daniel, of 1 Corinthians, and all the different places that Chris has been, Jonah, Ruth, and different places we've been at an expository church. You mark the passing of time by the books that you go through because it takes so long. But anyway, we planted a church in Menifee a couple of years ago and so much more. I see Jake and Lauren sitting over here, who's a pastor over there. But time is up. So let me wrap this up. For the past 13 years, we've been a set-up and tear-down church. And we don't talk about it that much because it runs so smoothly, doesn't it? And it runs smoothly because there are faithful men and faithful women who week in and week out are here on this campus before most of us are even out of bed. Am I right? And they set up the sound system. They set up these projectors, the chairs, the children's ministry, the entire patio every single week. It's a major undertaking. How thankful we are for them that we can come into this room and have undistracted worship because of their service to us and to the Lord. And we're thankful that in this school, we've been here for more than 10 years able to meet. But our opportunities to minister in this environment are limited, and we have dreams and ambitions that far exceed what we can do in this place. And so a number of years ago, we began to pray and to look for a space of our own. And that leads us to this video about the property that FBC currently owns. Would you turn your attention to the video and let's watch it together.
When Faith Bible first started, we were considering where the Lord might have us in the future. And the prices in our valley were going through the roof. It was the peak of the housing market in our valley. So we began to look at French Valley, thinking that's what we'd be able to afford. And Bella Vista Middle School opened up, and that's why you're sitting where you're sitting today. And if you would have told me back then that we would have 24 acres off the 15 freeway in the heart of our valley, I would have told you you were crazy. To get to our property, you simply exit Clinton Keith off the 15 freeway, and it's a 3-minute drive to get here. For those of you who are not familiar with property as ours, it's not the first lot right behind USA Gas Station, but go north of Clinton Keith to the second lot, just on the east side of the 15 freeway. The great thing about this property is, if you happen to live in Canyon Lake, your drive to church will be 15 minutes instead of 30. One of the things we prayed for was to have property in the middle of our valley that we could plant churches throughout the region and be able to use this property for the kingdom. What was once a prayer is now a reality. So you'll enter the property over here with parking down by the freeway. You'll be able to walk up, and we're standing in the heart of the worship center of where it will be located. Off to the side, we'll have children's classrooms, a youth room, Lord willing, one day a gymnasium and an amphitheater for baptisms and weddings, with a kitchen that we can even host larger events for local high schools and be used in the community. Off to the right, we hope to have missionary housing. Maybe by then it'll be a parsonage and we'll keep Chris, John, and Nigel there. So that's it. This is our property, 24 acres in the heart of the valley that we own free and clear. We are so excited to see what the Lord's going to do.
Oh, let's hear it for Robert. That's awesome. Well, what a day it's been. I went right from church and preaching two services to a staff meeting, which was incredible. And we have the most amazing lay staff ever. And then I was whipped home for about 30 minutes and then turned around, went in the new visitor coffee. We had 15 people there tonight, and it was really exciting, really great people, just kind of the people that might actually fit with you, you know, crazy, weird, genuine. It was wonderful. But it's been quite a day. And if I run out of gas, it's because I didn't have dinner. I'm just working on a latte. All right. So remember when you were unsaved and then God saved you and everything changed? Remember that? Come on, nod your head. Yeah, okay. Remember when you were single and you got married and everything changed? Remember that you were married and then you had a kid and everything changed? Remember that you had more kids and everything changed? And then they started, you know, become adolescents and everything changed. And then they started leaving the home and everything changed. Anybody with me on that? Change is a part of what we are. Change is a part of what we do. Change is a part of life. And without change, you can't become more like Christ. Without change, you as a church can't become all that God wants us to be. And as we approach the new building, we'll struggle a little bit. I just want to warn you, I'm the edifier, so I'm just telling you right now, we're going to struggle a little bit with what do we change and what do we not. There'll be things where we're like, no, I don't want things to change. I mean, I love this family, and I want this family to function the way that we function. And so we'll be fighting to kind of, you know, preserve that, at the same time adjusting to a new facility. And so I want to talk a little bit about the vision that's before us. I have the privilege of sharing that. Please remember that this is vision, not promises, okay? This is hope expressed. This is priorities projected. This is not prophetic predictions. You know what I'm saying? So stay with me on that. When we move in, there will be a kind of an errant expectation that everything will be better. We'll go, you know, some of you are going to go, I liked it back better at Bella Vista. Because the things will be a little bit different, and we'll have to adjust to that. There'll be a push to start to do things that we've always wanted to do, you know, that program that really impacted you. Why don't we do that? And you'll want to have a breakfast or a kids program. Why don't we do that? And there'll be an expectation of external excellence. You know, you'll want your pastors, especially John, in a suit and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, we're not committed to performance, as I'm showing you right now. So when we move in, there'll only be two offices. We're going to still use Starbucks as our official office. There'll be functional offices for, you know, building things and assembling things and phone calls and administration and assembly and counseling. But we'll still be using Starbucks as our functional offices and different places around the city where we meet for lunch, etc., because we want our pastors and elders to be in the community and not necessarily based in a church, and because we want our church to be able to have enough room for everybody else. Are you tracking with me? I mean, we've got to be very careful and conservative as we get in and be able to do what we can afford. And so there's going to be administrator and on duty and a pastoral custodian. You know what I mean by pastoral custodian? They can fix the walls, they can fix the sidewalk, they can pick the weeds, and they can take care of your spiritual problem. You know what I mean? So there'll be always someone there. Instead of offices, we're planning to have children's classrooms and large meeting rooms as much as we can. And I'm personally praying right now, you're going to see in a little bit the different phases, okay? And I have in my mind two phases, but there's multiple phases. But the first phase is bare bones, all right? It's just one building with children's classrooms on the outside and a meeting room for almost 600. And I'm praying that somehow that we could just skip phase one. I'm just telling you right now, that may not happen. It's okay. Phase one, I'll be happy. I'll content. I'll be joyous. I'm fine. But I'm praying that we get right into the main building and our little educational wing. And you'll see those in the plans. And I'm going to give you reasons why we should actually be praying crazy to get in there. As you know, we're currently having family nights. Let me tell you a little bit about what we're doing to get there. Remember last year we had table talk. This year we have family nights. Next year, Lord willing, we'll have kind of sort of a evening service. Now, I'm not sure what we'll call it, but a Sunday night service so we can function in a certain way and edify and those who are new with us and do some wonderful things with missions night and youth camps and members meetings and men topics, women topics, student topics, lay staff kind of things, mission training teams, etc. And, I hit my clock and it stopped it, so I don't even know where I'm at now. I know. I'm going to go faster, okay? I get bonus time, right? Okay, good. So we don't even know what it's going to be, but we're going to try to facilitate that. Maybe in 2019, that's 2018 in fall, 2019, we might have a Saturday night service by the property so we can begin to reach out to that region. That would mean we'd need about 50 of us to be committed to making Saturday night kind of our church expression. We'll have a full program for children and the evening, and it'll be a duplicate of Sunday morning. But we're going to try to reach out to that facility, that region, by having our presence there before we move on property. Does that make sense to you? So we're not just shocking everyone with our presence. We're like, no, we're coming. We're coming in a year, and I'll let them know. Now, whether that continues or not, that's between the Lord and the elders and what we want to do. But every day as we look at this new facility, let me tell you some of the things that we're thinking about that we're not currently doing. We're thinking about like having Moms by Grace on campus. Wouldn't that be swell? Maybe to do more than one. Which would be scary right now to think about that. But, you know, that's an incredible outreach opportunity. Young moms, reaching them. We have a deep affection for that, do we not, as a church family? So we want to see. Maybe that'll happen. We want to begin a counseling center on Monday nights where we have people that we're reaching out to the community in an evangelistic way. Most of our counseling is evangelistic. And so, therefore, we're sharing Christ. And there are people coming to know Christ through our counseling ministry right now that you may not be aware of. So we're praying that we might be able to do more of that. We have guys that are really gifted at this. We have gals that are really gifted at I don't want to be a part of that program, okay? That's not my giftedness, but we have people that are extremely good at that, and they are able to share on a one-on-one basis, and we're seeing God produce incredible fruit. So we'd like to reach out to our community and serve them in that manner on Monday nights or whatever. We'd like to see women's classes on campus. Wouldn't that be swell? That'd be great, and facilitate that for them, set up for them, that kind of thing. Wednesday nights, maybe we'll continue to do what we're doing. Maybe we'll have an additional children's program, maybe not. Maybe that'll be Sunday night. We'll do Men of the Word, you know, either Tuesday or Thursday mornings. We'll probably have an evening session, maybe on Thursday nights, for parenting, for marriage, for theology, and other things that we want to equip in our church family. We'd like to do some family training. Wouldn't you love to have somebody help you with how to lead your kids and how to work through devotions together and how to be able to minister to them in a unique way through holidays, etc., and actually equip you to do it. And so that you have all the materials you need that you can begin to work through your family and develop that on Friday nights, to do outreach nights, to do movie nights. And again, you don't all have to come. It's just a way in which for us to reach out to the community. We're not trying to overbusy you, but then facilitate a way in which we can reach out and really minister to people around us. We'd like to do weddings. Wouldn't that be cool? and actually have a place that you'd go, I'd want a wedding there. You know what I mean? It's beautiful. It's great. It would be people in our church family. We like to continue to do seminars and half-day seminars, that kind of thing, band practice, of course, and Sunday morning and Sunday night, be able to do a children's program on Sunday night. Maybe we'd move that to Wednesday night. We don't know. We're just trusting the Lord. Now, other things we'd like to see happen is having like a, we have a current ministry in town that ministers to pregnant women who are pregnant out of wedlock. They won't allow us to share the gospel. So we'd like to maybe have our own sonogram and be able to do that so we could share Christ with those women in crisis. We'd like to do that. That's one of the dreams that we have. We want to be pro-life. We don't want to just be, we are anti-abortion, but we also want to be pro-life, and we want to facilitate that as much as we can. We'd love to have meetings for prayer. We'd like to make our facility available to our local police and fire and for funerals or class graduations and reach out to our community that way and facilitate that and extend the love of Christ to those organizations, to have special outreach Sundays for our police or fire or teachers or armed services and veterans. We've talked about this for some of you a long time. Having a Sunday dedicated to that makes it really tough when you're in rented facilities to pull that off. It's a lot tougher than you think, and having our own facility will allow us to reach out to them in a unique way. We want to have parenting at every level. We want to help our parents with newborns, with 1 to 5, 6 to 10, early adolescent, later adolescent, singles, using these to train and reach parents for Christ. We'd love to have VBS on campus. Wouldn't that be swell? Yes, baby. Maybe 1, maybe 2, maybe 3, maybe more. Okay. As long as we have people that are crazy enough to keep doing it, we'll like to do it because it's a way in which we can share Christ. And as long as we can do that without pushing or people going beyond what they're able to do, that kind of thing. Clothing exchanges, to plant churches in South Temecula. I mean, we're even thinking about the word, the, almost a curse word, Hemet. We're thinking about Escondido, San Diego. But beyond phase one, if we were to actually go right into phase two, which is basically a larger auditorium and a side educational building, if we were to do that, we would be able to have a men's conference that would be maybe at a national level. We'd be able to do a training eldership conference. We'd be able to how to train your men in churches and sports programs for our kids at every level. It's a whole new world that opens up to us. We want a base to reach California. We're not into building the Taj Mahal. We if you know us, we tried really, really, really hard to buy a building. If you know our history, we tried to, we wanted, John and I, for years, we talked about somehow the building that became the Burlington Coat Factory, you know, off Marietta. We wanted that. We were claiming it. We were doing all kinds of charismatic. I mean, it was incredible. We wanted that building. And God didn't give it to us. And we tried to get a warehouse. And God didn't give it. We tried to get another one. Didn't give it. I mean, we have tried to do that. And finally, we said, well, we better buy a piece of property and see what's going to happen. And so we've got this property, paid it off. It's got great visual, you know, attention to the community, a way for us to have a presence. And we're building a tilt-up. We're doing a very big, we're going to make it look nice, okay? But it's a box, okay? Is that okay? Is that okay to say that? Okay. It's a box, but it's going to be a very cool box, all right? And we're hoping to expand the box. Am I robbing your thing? Okay, sorry, I don't want to do that. We don't want our church family to suffer through all kinds of functional changes. We don't want to be a church that takes ourselves too seriously. We just want a facility so that we're not trusting Jerry Brown anymore, and that we're actually reaching out into our community. We have a visual presence here. This is not a sign of success for us. We don't define success that way. Do you understand that? We define success that Christ is honored, your lives are changing, and the soul and souls of lost people are getting saved. You know what I mean? That's what we see as the most important thing. This is just an avenue and a tool for us. And we are absolutely committed to go in this direction. And the more that we get down this road, we are more committed to it. You know what I mean? And God has already blessed us. We had the, are you going to say this about the money, the environmental thing? Are you going to? No, okay. So we had this environmental, we got to pay bills, right? We got to pay for this thing. So anywhere from $100,000 to $250,000 we could have paid. And by God's grace, we had to pay $100,000. You know what I mean? We didn't have to pay the big end. So God's already been helping us there. We're saving money at that. But you got to pay this in order to go through all the studies. And they're going to look for some rare moth. And we're going to burn the property. And they'll never find it. So Anyway, we want to keep what's important and what's important. We're looking at ministry, and you know what? Some of you around the room are going, but I'd really like to see this happen. And the same thing that we've been saying for 10 to 12 years now, we're going to say to you. You know, if it's within the realm of what the Scripture has to say, then you do it. We're going to want to facilitate ministry, and that's what this facility is all about, facilitating ministry. Now, if it's a little off-center with our philosophy of ministry, we'll say, hey, you can facilitate it somewhere else. But we love you, and we want to try to facilitate ministry that's in line with who we are and where we're headed and what we consider our priorities. But we want you to be a part of that. So we're very excited about what tonight holds, and we're hoping that you'll be encouraged as well and challenged, hopefully, and blessed in a variety of ways. I'll come back now. I guess it's now time to have John come up and tell us about this incredible property. Let's hear it for John Klesnick. Come on.
Well, if you came in early or maybe before the singing started, you would have noticed on the sides of the walls, on both sides, there was a variety of really large diagrams of some of the images that we're going to show tonight. Afterwards, those are outside next to the coffee and the cupcakes, is that what they are? And those kind of things. So you have more opportunity. I can actually see them through here. They're huge. 4 feet tall, 8 feet long. Plenty of sight for those, plenty of to see for those poor of sight. So quickly, I want to try and walk through some of the details. There's been a lot of planning that went into this and a lot of revision. Similar to a couple that goes looking for a house without looking at prices, we designed something originally with a lot of your feedback that we really loved, and we turned out we couldn't afford it all. And so we had to go back and kind of scale down to, go. my mom would say you move from a champagne taste with a beer budget. And so... probably not the right context. Yeah, okay, fair enough. At least I attribute it to my mother. Yeah. So we're doing a water budget. Yeah, there you go. So we scaled down to something that we could afford, that we could get onto, but have to present to the city a overall plan for how we're going to do the whole property rather than just what we can afford when we move on. So I want to walk you through all of that. If you don't know where the property is, I want you to know that first so that you can go see it sometime. This is it on the left in green, and then in the center, there's where it is in the city. And this is off the east side of the 15 freeway, not the 215, which most people look at, but off the 15 freeway and north of Clinton Keith. When you exit past Clinton Keith on the 15 driving towards Corona, you're going to pass an empty parcel on the right-hand side. That's not us. We're the next empty parcel on the right-hand side. The first one is going to be a mix of condo and commercial, and then after that is us. And that's the one highlighted right there, right at the end of De Pascal and Glazebrook, where those two meet. So one day, Lord willing, on this property, you will see this. That is a rendering, just visually, of the property fully built out for the most part for what we'll have there. And I want to walk you through some of all that is. When you get there, sadly, it won't look like that. Instead, it will look much more like this. I'm sorry. This is what we could afford. So not the whole thing, but this. And this is adequate, in fact, more parking than what we have now. You'll notice that center worship center building is there, roundabout so that you can get in and out, and fire trucks can too. But this is essentially, it'll be parking and a building and a lot of, hopefully, a lot of graded land around us with a fair bit of DG over it to keep weeds from growing and animals burrowing. So that's the overall plan. This is what will be built, Lord willing, when we arrive in late 2020. Nigel will talk about time frame later. I want to give you a little bit more of a better visual for what's inside and talk about that briefly. When we move into the building, there will be, as Chris mentioned, 584 seats in the worship center. This room seats around 400 or so. So we're planning for a little bit of hope, as we hear, a pop in attendance when you move to a new location. Lord willing, we won't be crowded out the first week when we move in, though it will probably feel that way. On the left-hand side, which will be the west side, there are kids' classes. Those are right now, I think, designated. There is one more kids' class, maybe two, than what we currently use. So there's plan for a little bit of growth in that. Bathrooms 4 us all when we walk in, and then some designated kids' bathrooms on the side. On the right-hand side, there are some adult classrooms, four, plus those workspaces. And in case you can't see, I did bring something a little bit to help. These are the two offices right here, down in the bottom right corner that Chris was talking about, reception area and kind of a workroom area. If anyone ever asked what MDP is, that's like an electrical utility. We can't really use it, which is really sad. Okay, and janitorial, in case you're wondering what that small one is. So there's some storage, some bathrooms. It is a basic raw building. One large room for youth, similar to what we have now. We would love to have a room for junior high and high school. In the original design, that was there, but when you have to constrain costs, we went down to that. But it is an amazing building. It's more than what we have, and it would allow us to move in right away. When we get there, oh, and I should mention, ladies, kitchen. But when we move in, that kitchen is going to look a bit like my pantry when we moved in. It'll just be bare drywall, finished drywall, and that'll be about it. We might even put in flooring. It depends what the price tag is. But over time, we plan to build that out. In fact, when we move into this, it will be pretty much flat where we bring our things in and then improve it as we go. If there's enough funds, we would love to have it fully furnished and decorated. The kitchen will be high on the finish list, funds pending. But that's it. If you're wondering what it looks like on the outside, here is just an exterior picture. It actually will probably look a fair bit more decorative than that, but this is the most raw basic image for what it would look like visually, and the city would like us to spiff it up a little bit. So we'll see what we can do to accommodate them. It will be raw. Now, if you paid attention, if you were keeping track at home, you would see that this is basically this looks south, which means it's going to have some sun exposure. We would love to have shade up there. It may or may not be there when we move in, but it will be there eventually. Because phase two, the next thing, is to add in shade. I think that we would all agree, living in Southern California, in Murrieta, shade is a happy thing. So we want to put in shade similar to this that would provide a lot of shade out front. It's actually a larger patio gathering area than what we currently enjoy here, really large. Can you go back one slide? And what you'll see is there's an area, gotta get the pointer again because it's on this side. There's gonna be some seating. Our tables will be over here. We Lord willing, will have actually a play box for kids here. And this is water features because there's gonna be freeway noise coming. And so the water features kind of drown out some of the freeway noise and mix in with it to make it a much nicer feeling. This will be elevated, the little planters for seating on the planters. We will allow you to sit on it instead of saying, keep your kids out. So all right, let's see what else. And then off to the side, from here, there will be the youngest playground area. Moving to this side, picking back up, this is the playground we want to build simultaneous to the shade, and it goes basically from youngest area to mid-level to older area for kids. And so the youngest, you can see, even if the parents are talking, there's seating all around it, and there's only two ways in, one here and one there. It'll be available for children's ministry during the time and open after services. So that's all phases one and phase two. Let's just pretend we get that done. What comes next after that? Oh, it'll be good, because then we move to this area right here, which is our baptismal turf area, and we're actually hoping, even though this is spec'd in this phase, to get this built sooner. The city doesn't require you to build everything 1, 2, 3. You can actually go out of phase, but we just have to declare things individually. So there will be an outdoor restrooms, which if we do outdoor events, we'll be really thankful for these, right? So you've ever met in the park and been like, where's the bathroom? So there we go. Restroom, as well as outdoor maintenance shed area here. If you've ever been to Monteleone Meadows, you've maybe been to a reception where they have kind of an exterior building with pillars on the sides, open-sided, and then a tin rooftop that is actually really beautiful. And then they have kind of vinyl walls you can close in. It's really low cost, really flexible, both useful and pretty attractive. And that's what we're planning for right over here, where it can be used by youth during the week, where we could have junior high and high school meet. That can be in contained to keep it cool, warm when necessary, and also be useful for wedding receptions, for a ladies' tea or whatever. It's a very large area as well. So this will be baptismal. There's a water feature here, Lord willing, that we'll be able to actually just walk people into for baptisms. It's slightly elevated above, so you'll have good line of sight, and then a really large flat area of turf. So, moving from there, what happens next? After that, what's the next phase? Phase four is a sports field down low. This originally was designed to be parking, because who doesn't love more parking? But as we talked about the cost of it and the usability of it, it's not very usable outside of Sunday mornings for us, and a sports field actually is more useful, and they can design a sports field that you can park on. And so it will be essentially a parkable sports field where we can park on it on Sunday mornings as we need the space and then use it during the week. There's, I think, a full-size soccer field and a small, just to get a perspective for what can fit. Our heart, Lord willing, is that we might be able to open that up to the community for their use as well rather than just for ours. That would definitely be the desire. There probably won't be night lighting for it, though. And then, let's see, that's a slope, and there'll be seating around the outside, hopefully carved into the hill eventually. Moving to the next thing after this, we need overflow parking so that we can then design this building right here, which is our children's ministry wing or classroom wing or however you want to call it. I tried to fit it here, and that's like useless, so I just spun it this way so you'd have a better visual for how much is in there. There is a bunch of classes, I think it's 12 in total, plus what's designated as children's worship, but really is designed to be a secondary youth room, much more likely to be used that way so that we could have junior high and high school either meet at the same time or have a large adult group. It's all of it to be flexible space because that other large meeting will happen at the same time. So there's adequate classrooms for everyone. There's a dedicated children's resource area, their own bathrooms, amazing, and it's fully lockdownable because Pat Wilkes is super brilliant. So in the event of an emergency, the whole thing can be enclosed and all the kids kept safe. So that's fantastic. What happens after that? I'm glad you asked. So let's see. Oh, yeah. Do we have the... Oh, yeah. Then after we build this, then we blow out the worship center. It moves from 584 seats up to 1,030. We do that by getting rid of classrooms right here that used to be in the worship center and pushing it out, getting rid of some of the foyer area, pushing this back, and expanding the bathrooms. And then we are adding in, Lord willing, to have a cafe/bookstore over here on the left-hand side where it would be available not just on Sundays but during the week for people who want to come in and sit, study, read, meet, or just really enjoy good coffee. Our standard is to blow out the national chain. So these are back here classrooms that would be used on Sunday, as well as some counseling during the week. This is the multi-purpose that probably will put in a divider here, so it could be either double two smalls or a large, depending on our needs there, because the new larger one over here will also be useful. So offices move a little bit, the kitchen stays. There's also a walk-in pantry, walk-in freezer, all kinds of great things that are planned for it. Yeah. So what happens after that? Well, this is what it will look like when it's fully built out, Lord willing, something similar to this. Children's, when you should approach it from the parking lot, you'd be seeing the Children's Ministry Center on the right, office space right there, and then entry into the main worship center, cafe doors over here. So it should be pretty inviting, pretty easy to figure out where you want to head when you first get there. What happens after that? Well, Lord willing, we'll actually build some missionary housing. This is our dream. As you know, we have missionary families who come in. I realized, Chris, I didn't set a timer at all, so I got no idea where I'm at. But so one day, as we had those three missionary families come, or three internationals come stay with us this last year, so we had the Clarks home on furlough, we actually would have packed these houses out and still had a bit of a need. So our goal is that if it's somebody coming home on furlough, somebody coming to spend a year with us, or just maybe even some missionaries in need, that this would be places that they could stay. It's 2 3-bedroom houses right here, and then a 4-bedroom right here that probably will have like 4 bunk beds to a room at times. So if we want to house a missions team or somebody else here to do outreach, we have the ability to do that as well. Robert's joke in my household did not go well. Our kids said, are we moving? So these are not planned to be a parsonage at all. This is definitely missionary housing. So I just need to be clear about that. All right. What happens after that? Phase 8. phase eight, we have designated here a gym. We haven't figured out what it will look like or how ultimately it will be used, but it seems like once we have all the classrooms built and larger worship center, we'll likely need a larger meeting space again as well. And so it'll be kind of a multi-purpose gym area, as well as probably some additional classroom space over there. And that is... I think all that's here. There's also a pad right here that we've just have slotted for future development. We have dreams and plans. Well, maybe that would be a crisis pregnancy area. Maybe that would be turned into kind of an adventure park for kids and families to come to during the week, which we could staff and do some evangelism and outreach in the context of that. Well, there's all kinds of ideas we're talking through, but haven't yet sorted out. And this could be a harvest your own fruit up there. We don't know. Yeah, so it actually, comically, it's a hill that we couldn't do anything with and we couldn't do, but our landscape architect was like, hey, do you want to put fruit trees on there for your church? Yep. Sure, why not? So, Lord willing, we're hoping to have a well on there, which would then mean we're not really paying for the water. So, yeah, avocados, whatever. So that's going to be there. That's the overall big picture plan for the whole property. And so Lord willing, soon what is right now raw land will become developed, and eventually you'll see something similar to that as you walk up to it. So you can study these images much more carefully and attentively out on the patio afterwards. We want to give you the opportunity to look at those and feel free to follow up with questions. Probably the best guys to ask with questions on the overall building site plan would be myself, Francisco Martinez, and Kevin Thomas, who are most intimately familiar with that. And if it's questions on the layout of the floor plan itself, then Chris, Nigel, and myself. So hope that helps as we go forward. And now we get the joy of Nigel telling us exactly when this happens.
So when is this going to happen? That's the big question. You want it to be sooner rather than later. Amen? Amen. Well, I want to put all of this project into a larger context for you. So if you look at the screen here, what you'll see is the end times. This is the pre-trib, pre-mill view of the end times. And we're trying to get something done, you know, before the tribulation, because that doesn't look too good at all. So if we could just hurry up, please, that would be great. Well, listen, there's a long timeline here, and I want to take you through some phases. I've got three phases. These three phases relate in no way to John's eight phases. There's no correlation whatsoever. These three phases come before phase one of the building project is completed. Make sense? So my three come before his eight phases. We should call them something else. Steps, whatever you like. These are the sealed judgments, the precursor to the Antichrist. No, that doesn't work. Okay. So this is how it goes. The first phase, this is all in preparation. So we had some plans go to the city in September, just a few weeks ago. That's when phase one began. So we're in phase one right now. We expect this will last maybe 9 to 12 months, something like that. And in this phase, what we're doing is we're going to the city. We're asking for a general plan amendment and a zone change and all of that. Kind of gets us going into the process of an environmental impact report. We're going to call that the EIR, Environmental Impact Report. And what we need to do is have a consultant prepare that report for us. So this is something that someone else does on our behalf, and then that goes to the city. And this process is a long one, typically 9 to 12 months to get this thing going. Just to finish that. Now, all of that involves a kickoff meeting. We're hoping that will begin pretty soon. Tomorrow, nice. That's Monday. Tomorrow is the kickoff meeting. Then there's a notice of preparation, an NOP, which lets the public and all the surrounding people, any stakeholders, know that we are starting the EIR process. They want to know about that. There's a public scoping meeting. They want to have a say sometimes on the project and how that's going to go. So we give them that opportunity. The city's involved. And our plan is to get out there in front of this process. We want the surrounding neighborhood, the people that are stakeholders and have an interest in this whole thing, not from this church, but from outside FBC, we want them to be positive about the whole project. And so we're doing some community things. We've already had the ice cream truck going out there to the community, trying to win their hearts. And so when we get there and they hear about the project, they're going to be on board. That's what we're praying for. We want them to be supportive, and you can be praying for that. Then a draft environmental impact report is finished, and we're hoping that'll be done by spring or summer next year. And then there's a final report, and there's city public hearings. People turn up and have a say on the project and so forth. Does that make sense? So all of that takes about a year. Then we go into phase two, and what you see here is other permits, other approvals. This typically takes anywhere from 6 months to 12 months. So again, this is a long phase. Here, what we're looking for are approvals from different government and state departments. For instance, the California Department of Fish and Wildlife. There is a stream that goes through the property, and our building hardly even touches that stream, but just a little bit kind of overhangs into that area. So we need to have them involved and come up with a stream bed alteration agreement. You believe this stuff? Crazy stuff. In New Zealand, they don't. No, anyway, so then there's the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. I don't believe there are any fish on the property, but anyway, they get involved. The Regional Water Control Quality Control Board, they give permits related to water quality and so forth. And there's a bunch of these approvals and permits. At the same time, the building documents would be being prepared as well to go to the city. That's all construction elements and documents that go in for that approval. Does that make sense? So that's a long process, and you want to be praying for all of that because there's a lot to get done. Then we go into the third phase, which is the construction phase. This is exciting because now we actually get to see some physical progress, and we could go to the site and see the site grading would begin. And here we're looking at about 2 months of just grading the property. If you've been out there, it's undulating hills and little valleys, and it all needs to be smoothed over and made to be prepared for the building. Then you go into laying foundations. This is all for phase one of what John described, okay? So we're at that point now. My phase three enters into his phase one, and so we're looking at foundations, all the underfloor plumbing, electric, takes about 6 weeks. Then you have the shell. Now we're looking at a tilt-up, so they construct the tilt-up panels on site, and they kind of lay the concrete flat and then tilt the walls up. That and the roof takes another 3 months. We have metal stud framing, so this is the fit out, all of the minor walls that divide up the space. Heating, AC, insulation, plumbing, and drywall, all of that takes a while. Then doors and trim and painting and tile and carpet and the sound system and fixed furniture. This is a long process. You put all that together, and what you have is about 12 to 15 months. We're hoping 12. But maybe 15, it kind of depends how it goes. At the same time as all of that's happening on the inside of the building, outside you have the parking lot, you have planting, you have the preparation for the external things as well. So it's exciting, and it's going to take a while. If you want to know about the timing issues, you can talk with Francisco, you can talk with Kevin Thomas, and they've got all the details. It's really, really good. You want to be praying for that. Now, how do we make this happen faster? Rod is going to answer that question right now.
Based on that talk, though, I can say that city planners have job security. So if you're looking for something that you want long-term employment, that's definitely one place to go. And also, when we move into our new facility, we're not going to make the pastoral staff wear suits, but we will make them tuck their shirt and wear a belt. Thank you, Nigel, for being such a good example. All right. Kidding aside, this is Robert's job. Just picture me, but 6'2", because Robert always talks about the finances. I never get to talk about this, but I get to say this one thing. Since 2003, one of the things that has amazed me is the giving from this church. God loves a cheerful giver. Think about that for a second. He loves believers, but he has this special love for cheerful givers. Isn't that an amazing thought? And that in that passage in 2 Corinthians 9, it talks about we can't outgive God. It's like the more we give, the more he lavishes his blessings upon us. So the fact that I'm standing here this many years later and see our giving continue to grow is just an amazing blessing to me. So let's look at the finances real briefly. First of all, as you've heard, we purchased land. I think it was 2010, wasn't it? 2010, in 3 years, we paid it off, $1.5 million. Up to this point, we have in the bank saved $1.2 million. Now, we've spent a lot of money up to this point, too, so I wanted to kind of show you what we've spent our money on. $348,000 is paid for engineering, architect, landscape, traffic studies, geotechnical, and water quality. $133,000 was our city application, EIR, and city attorney. That's before we submitted the application. Next page. Which we just submitted. All told, down at the bottom, another $133,418. Oh, yeah, two of the same numbers. Thanks, John. Like I said, Robert usually is up here. So the bottom line is we've spent a lot of money thus far. But here's the good thing. We've got land, we've paid for it, and we have $1.2 million in the bank. But what does that mean for us today, moving forward? Well, we have costs. Phase one, we've used that word a lot tonight. But this particular phase one cost, this one corresponds with John's phase one. So landscape architect, civil engineer, BGW architect, all $441,000, that's soft cost, right? Nothing built, nothing planted, nothing cemented, no dirt moved, soft costs. In addition to that, we have the construction, the fees that you see listed there, the hard cost being $7.5 million. Sounds daunting, doesn't it? But I've seen the way you give, so it isn't that daunting. And plus, I know that God builds his church, that's the people. But God has supplied beyond what we can imagine or think already. And we know that this is in store for us. So we're going to keep at it. Next page. So what it's going to look like is we're going to need to be able to secure a loan for about $6.5 million once we've paid a lot of the costs and the fees in our ongoing giving. This is probably where we'll land, about $6.5 million. Our payment will be about $40,000 a month. Again, sounds pretty daunting. However, we are currently saving that much monthly, and we pay about $8,000 in overhead currently with the school and the Temecula facility. So this is what we need. This is where we're going financially. Okay? Next one. That's it. That's the financial picture. I'm all done. Come on up, Chris.
Well, what you just saw was a lot of phases, so I hope you're not totally confused. And, I think I actually understand it a little bit better, which is great. Great job, Rod. Man, that's just not your wheelhouse, but man, you rocked it. You know what's encouraging to me is that we're making the payment right now, and we've been rejoicing over that for quite some time. And so it's not like we're going to get into this and going, where is this coming from? We're already there. You know what I mean? We're already been practicing and rehearsing that. So I get to recap a little bit and put down some challenge. And I just want to be, careful and gracious, but I just want to encourage you. You are a giving church, and so it's a matter of what you're praying for and what you're hoping for. So I'm going to lay out some criteria here. The first thing is pray. We really need you to pray. And we need to be a praying church, and the elders for the building team, for the men interacting with the city, pray for providential meetings that occur and opportunities that occur to build relationship and to network and to have the gospel go forth. And we're going to take every window. We're not going to stop being believers. We're going to say, and we're not going to stop with our missional aspect of just making sure that Christ and his work on the cross is heard even in this process. We're unashamed of him in this. And so we want to make sure he's known. And so pray, one of my favorite verses, Ephesians 3:20, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. And the second verse is, to him be the glory. And listen to this, in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, sounds like FPC, forever and ever, amen. And so we want to see his church flourish in the next generation. And so we're doing this so that we can make Christ known. And again, it's the option that the Lord has led us to. You know how, many of you know how, when we prayed about the property, we were looking at buildings, and we didn't want to move ahead on a piece of property unless God was in it, you know, that we saw something amazing. And if you don't remember the story, it wasn't told tonight, is that we're praying, you know, let's make this really obvious. And so we looked at this little diamond-shaped piece of property, and we went, yeah, that looks good. And the bank goes, no. We're not going to give you that 10 acres, that little triangle, unless you actually purchase this next piece of property, which is right next to it. We want to get rid of the whole thing. And the little triangle, the 10 acres, was $1.1 million. And they said, well, we'll give you the additional 14 acres for $400,000. And we went, that sounds really good. And so for $1.5 million, we ended up with 24 acres right by the freeway. That's amazing. So God has been really good to us, and he has blessed us in that way. And we want to encourage you. Here's the thing. If one thing you hear tonight, what we want you to do, if even in the smallest way, we want every person that considers FBC their church home to participate. Now, we're not telling you what to participate or how to participate, just to participate financially. And to participate in prayer. And it doesn't matter if you're a high school student, it doesn't matter if you're a collegian, the real thing that we need is kind of where your money is, your heart is, right? We just need, even if it's small, to say, I'm in this. And that's what I'm asking and praying for tonight. I'm not asking for an amount, I'm asking for your participation. That you would say, I'm in. And this is our future. And this is our church home. Like we make a payment on a house payment, we're making a payment on our house, you know, our household, where we're going to meet and where we're going to try to influence this community and this region. And we do have desires. I didn't say this earlier, you know, not just Hemet and Temecula, but we want to get down to, you know, Escondido and San Diego. That's a dream. You know, before I croak and go to heaven, I'd like to get a church down in San Diego because they really need a church. And so we're praying all that. And so the first thing is pray. Second, participate. Third is to give. And this process demands sacrifice, and the process demands that we all participate from, you know, any age. And it's functional. You know, our building that we're building, we said this a long time ago, right? And I don't like the phrase. I don't think the elders like the phrase. Maximum bulk, minimum price. You know, we want the biggest we can get for the lowest we can spend. And it's for our children, it's for his use, and we're only dreaming about the lost coming to Christ and the saved becoming like Christ. That's still our focus. We don't want to be into, you know, a material success. We do want to have a place and that we can reach out to this region. So here's the challenge, and I want to beg you, if you could, look at your budget. If you don't have a budget, then make a budget. You should have a budget. You should know what you're doing with his money. It's not your money, it's his money. Amen to that? It is. So what are you doing with it? And every penny should be accounted for, where it goes. My paycheck comes in and it's distributed to all these various accounts. We know exactly where it's doing, and we're trying to do it for God's glory. We try to save for things that are coming, bills that are coming down the road. We have a little account for Jesus. We have an account for giving, and it's all there. When I say Jesus, it means the unexpected giving. You know what I mean? And we're trying to be involved in this whole process, and Gene and I are going to review this as well. And if you're ready to do this, then let me talk to four different groups of people, all right? So there's different people in this room. So here's group number one. I want to encourage you. If you're giving below 10%, then raise it to 10. Your regular giving will actually turn the tide in this whole process. We can get in at this minimal level, that one building, with our current giving right now, just barely. All right, we're taking our sound system and it's going over. Right, it's not really that the best system for that building, but that's what we can afford right now. So we're trying to just get in. We're not building again this incredible. Are you with me on this? We're not building this Taj. It's a box. All right, it's a tilt-up. And maybe for some of you, that's a minor adjustment. Maybe you're already there. Praise God for that. The average American is giving 2%. So, you know, maybe for some of you, that's an 8% increase. But give 10% to your church. Give to eternity. It's not a tithing issue. We don't teach tithing. I'm just saying a chunk, a sacrifice. You're saying I'm involved in this process. So let me encourage you. Some of you in that process, can I speak plainly? Is that okay? Can I do this? It's not about me. It's not about anything. It's just about this process and getting in. Now, by the way, sub Chris Mueller commercial, can I do that for a minute? You know, the one box and then that little educational wing that comes later in phase frigus, you know what I'm saying, whatever phase that is? You know what I'm talking about? That's what I'm praying for, the box and that educational wing. I just want us to get right into that. That would be my dream. I'm okay if my dream doesn't come true because I trust the providence of God. But that's what I'm hoping for and praying for. I like to dream big. Anybody else with me on that? And I could see Pat Wilkes in there, okay? I could see our children in there, and I'm going, and I like that large building because we can do some things for our community, and that would be incredible. And that's what, I've been dreaming about that my whole life, and so maybe that'll happen, maybe it won't, but that's what I'm praying for. But if we don't, just getting in will be sweet, all right? Group number two, if you give 10%, then shoot for 12. How's that? Does that rock your world? Does it offend anyone? If you're offended, later come up and tell me, and I'll go, yeah, I offend myself as well. All additional monies. Everything that we've been doing, the reason we weren't hard sell and no thermometers and stuff like that, we trust the Lord, and as people give, then we would give all that extra. Anything that came above our budget went right into the building, and that's where that $1.2 million came from. But for us to be able to do some of the things you're looking at, you know, the kitchen, you know, the maybe the side room, you know, the baptismal area, we're not ready for that. We can't afford that right now, but we could if our build, you know, our giving went up. And so I'm asking you to think about 12%. You don't have to. Nobody's going to check on you. I don't know what you give. Nobody does, except for about two people, and they're sworn to secrecy, and they're not going to tell anyway. So the ones who do the books. So get into the building. That'll make a difference, and it might make a difference in a significant way. If everybody participates, it's going to make a difference, and if you do up your giving, it's going to make a significant difference. Group number three. This is for the wealthy. I don't know if you consider yourself that, I don't even understand what that term means, because we're all wealthy because we all have house, we all have food, we all have clothing. So in biblical terms, we're wealthy. But some of you maybe have, like, abundant resources. So what the Bible says to you is, as for those who in this present age are rich, command them not to be haughty or to set their hopes on uncertainty of riches, but rather on God, who truly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. They are to do good and to be rich in good works, generous and ready to share, thus storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of the life that really is a life. And so this is a church you can count on. You know, we're flawed people, but we're not messing around. And if you know us, you know that we're very serious about the mission. If we're very serious about Christ, we just don't take ourselves very serious. We're not materialistic. This is not about money for us. We're not in it for that. We're not off-center on that. We're good stewards. We got great elders who are very conservative, and we really work hard at that. Being men who look at this with integrity. And so the church, we want to honor Christ, we want to follow Christ, obey His word, make Him known, and we're aggressively investing into men and in families who will make an impact around the world. That's what we're all about. And don't allow the enemy to cheat you from anything or go down some sort of, this has got another agenda to it. It doesn't have any agenda to it except the mission to exalt Jesus Christ and to make Him known. And we just are asking you to give towards it. And maybe in a way that maybe you never have. And so that's that time. We're not perfect, but we're about Christ and the church, and you know this. So give towards that. And I know some of you give towards missions and other things. That's what the church is all about. We're trying to see the church be established around the world and in this region. And goodness knows, boy, people could really use the Word of God. Would you agree with that? And they could use the gospel. And so we're trying to make that known. So group number four is for everyone. And so the men are coming right now with envelopes that they're going to pass out. So they're doing it right now. Here they come. And we want you to pull out a set of envelopes, all right? And it'll let you know how this is going to work. Instead of putting in tonight, you're taking out, all right? This is the reverse offering. So guys, go, man. Just go. Don't wait for permission. Okay, so grab a set of envelopes. They're geared for the next 6 months. We're no longer giving quarterly building offerings. We're asking now that you would consider November, December, January, February, March, April for the next 6 months that you would give specifically toward the building the next 6 months, one per month. Okay, so listen, I know they're passing things out, but you got to listen carefully. For the next 6 months, you want to figure out how much more you can give and put that in the offering. College people, you know, give up a latte a week and you could put $20 in. That's amazing. I mean, really, that's where we're at. This is your church and this is Christ's body you're a part of, so I can't express strongly enough how important it is for every one of you to participate in some manner. People who are not here tonight will have the opportunity to get envelopes as well as see this presentation and understand that different amounts equal sacrifice, right? One more time, let me say that again. Different amounts equal sacrifice. Everybody sacrifices, but everybody sacrifices at a different level, right? That's how we do it. So let the Lord lead you, high schooler, retiree, all of us, some amount, participate. Those who are not here again will be able to get these envelopes later, and there'll be no more quarterly offerings. The process is there's no special Sunday in November. We're not going to say, this is giving week. Just some Sunday in November, give the November envelope, okay? Try not to mess us up and put November in December, okay? That's really just a... There's people that really get weirded out. I'm okay with that, but some people are like, what do I do? So don't do that. So November, November, December, December, January, January. This is not rocket science. You're all with me on this, right? Now, okay, listen up. We got to make this really clear. Do not take from your regular offering and put it in the building offering. The bank is looking at our regular offering. If our regular offering goes down, then we can't get the loan to actually get in. So this is over and above we're talking about, okay? So we're trying to be really clear about that. That's not going to help us if you just rob from Peter to pay Paul kind of thing. And we're not going to overextend ourselves as a church. So if we can't afford something, we're not going to do it. We're just going to go in with what we know we can afford. And if you give like you're giving right now, we're just going to make in the bare bones approach. No kitchen, no sound system, room for 600, no coffee shop, no bookstore. Just enough rooms to match what we're currently doing, a little bit more room in our worship service, and we'll be able to grow a little bit, but it's bare bones, and we're just trying to make sure that we're playing it smart. But if the giving goes up, then that enables us to be able to consider the kitchen, consider that second building, and if you do what I've asked in a significant way, then hopefully, you know, the Lord will graciously work in our hearts. So what I'm asking the wealthy to do is give your 12% and maybe a big chunk, you know, before the end of the year, if that's something that you could do. We'll trust God for that as well. And so no matter where you're at, we have a way in which to evaluate. Now, if you do what I've asked, I think that we're going to see God do some amazing things. And so just pray about it and see what God will do. If you're one of the rare ones tonight, you take a look at that stack of envelopes. And if you've grabbed the envelopes, and one of those envelopes is a gold envelope, would you check to see if you have one of those? Then that's better than Willy Wonka's gold ticket. You know what I mean? Having a gold envelope means that you get to give more, three times more than you ever thought you could give. Oh, you all have a gold ticket. I'm teasing. I'm sorry. I couldn't help it. I saw the gold envelope and I just freaked out. Went, look at this! This is great! Sorry, you know me, you know how my mind works. So the elders are going to come right now. We're going to actually take a little Q&A and walk you through this. I'm just so thankful for you and grateful that we're in this process together. It's going to be exciting to see. I've never been a part of a church where this has been funner-er, where it's just been watching God work. and giving him all the glory. So questions from the floor. John's going to narrate this
so
for
you,
us.
You have, we want to take any questions we have from the members about any of the process. We're all up here equally ignorant but joyful to pretend. So,
Grego.
Anytime you want to befriend a neighbor, that's great. Not just your neighbors, but in the neighborhood, that's amazingly helpful because it generates goodwill for the neighborhood. Anytime you want to run for Wildomar City Council, that's useful. It's not just Greg, any of you, that's eminently useful. Or Planning Commission, either of those are huge plays. If you have the ability to impact state law, that's useful. But particularly when we move into construction documents, that's the 6 to 9 month phase that Nigel talked about as phase two, but that right after we get approval from the city, then we'll start getting regulatory approval, getting construction docs, and talking, our general contractor will be talking to a bunch of subs. And so if you have the ability to if you have the ability to pull electrical wire, if you're a licensed and bonded electrical contractor, if you run a hardware store that's able to donate some supplies for free or at cost, if you have the ability on a material side or in a work side to contribute, our general contractor, we chose him partially because he's familiar with working with churches that have people like that. And we know we have people like that. And so at that point, when we move into that, we'll be talking to y'all about the ability for you to contribute in different ways, tangible ways, in that way. We also take diamonds.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe we'll do a jewelry offering. Yeah. That'd be cool. You know, that little piece of gold ring that you don't wear anymore, you know? You know, Betsy's like, whatever. Whatever. Just moving on. The Russians do that all the time. They do jewelry offerings. I went over there one time, and I'm like, really? Yeah. And it was thousands of dollars.
But ours would be $30.
Yeah. Hey, wait a minute.
I'm kidding.
I've been asking this for almost every year, obnoxiously so, because I have friends. I've got a friend that's going to give all the light bulbs, and then he may give all the fixtures, and that's about $400,000. That would be a big deal. If some of you know a cement guy, that's about $2 million out of that whole construction cost. So, you know, I mean, I'm talking about the guy that owns the company that loves giving, you know what I mean? But that kind of thing, you know, but then there's also just helping out and if you're qualified to do so. So go ahead.
Another answer to the same question is you all are involved in ministries right now and you know how the ministry operates and what you need to make it work. You could start thinking even now, like what's that going to look like? Look at the plans and think through, even now, think through with your team members, what's going to change, what's going to stay the same, how can we prepare now for that day that's coming? We really like the culture of the church right now that everyone kind of mucks in. So we want to make sure that culture remains, and we need to think ahead to ensure that that's true and plan for that even now.
I want to plant plants too, plant trees. I like doing that.
I think that's what he meant by muck in.
Yeah, that was it. I want to get my dumb dissertation done so I can go dig in the dirt. That's what I want to do.
It's a Kiwi thing.
Seriously,
yeah. All
I
right.
like doing that.
Other questions? Yes, April. Yeah. It all helps and it goes into savings. Comically, as she was mentioning, you would have probably only know about that if you actually were on Facebook and saw it occasionally where it goes up. If you shop via Amazon, you can designate us. It's called Amazon Smile, smile.amazon.com. You can designate a charity that receives a percentage of your purchase back to the charity. I think this last quarter we got like $200 from it, just from people who in the church who used it. And that's awesome. That's $200 from Amazon I would never have expected to receive.
John, I've given over $1 that way.
What's that?
I've given over $1
that
way so
much.
Far.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
There goes your reward in heaven, Sean.
$1.28.
So, awesome, Sean.
Yeah.
Maybe you could have bought a belt for that.
So
money.
If you go to smile.amazon. if you want to do that, smile.amazon.com, you can search for us. We're listed there. Wayne.
Question.
The northern part of the property would go towards Baxter. Is that where I'm thinking of? Right now, we were early on trying to take into account a road that is, Lord willing, not going to be put in. And so it's a huge cost savings to us if they don't put that road in. So because it doesn't appear to be in all of their traffic flow patterns, we're planning to use the whole property and not have, if you're thinking of that original one that had a road kind of arcing through it, that was pulled out so we could utilize more of the property. If they give it to us, we're totally open to that. But right now we pay about $3,400 for it a month, so we would prefer to use that for getting in. Any others? These are great. The community groups?
Wednesday night would be our student ministries on campus. So junior high and high school. And then if we could do anything else, we'll have to consider that at that time. We just don't know what kind of room we'll have to be able to do anything in addition. That's where we have to kind of slice it up and say, well, what we're using right now is we have two Wednesday nights going on. We'd like to get them both on property, stop the rental on outside, and then, you know, and then see what else we can do. But we're always, we want to, you know, maximize the facility. We're not trying to, like, make it exclusive. We want to use it. So
CGs as we know them won't change. CGs today will not change.
Ever?
I okay. can't say okay. for For now.
Ooh, for what now. Else you got? Colette. Worship center will be flat.
We might just sit on the carpet when we move in. But yeah. eventually, yeah. we're hoping for chairs. It'll unless we can take
it,
these.
It's multi-use. In other words, if it was a sloped floor, then all you could use it for would be, you know, certain kind of gatherings. And we need all the space for everything. You know, tables rolled out, multiple uses. So I don't know about basketball, but multiple uses. That's what the gym is for, you know, kind of thing. But there'll be equipment around that might be, you know, we'll have to be careful. But we definitely want to use it. A lot. Yeah.
Yeah. This, Ty.
So in the event that we don't make it to Chris's phase two as phase one, we have to...
Chris's phase two. Okay, keep
yeah,
going.
Yeah,
yeah. There's five phases.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
For Chris's phase one to phase two, mm-hmm. where will we meet during construction and build out? Oh, okay.
We will stay here until that one is approved for occupancy.
Oh, wait, no, I think he's asking when we phase out.
Yeah. So yeah. The way that it's designed is the children's classrooms will be built out fully. We will then be able to knock out and prepare so that that final move from 584 to 1,000 whatever, basically during the week we'll tear down walls and it'll be pretty seamless. There might be like some floor carpet work, but it should be all essentially pre-built to where the last thing to do is to tear down the walls and you basically, it's a new room.
You know, there all might set. Be a couple of months with, you know, sheets of plastic to keep the dust down and whatever. But yeah, the inner room is just expandable. I just, you know, personally, I get to where we're supposed to go. Yes. No, actually, we're working on torture. and we want people to actually, you know, like really have to pay attention while I'm preaching. You know what I mean? So
this is how we actually keep the sermons to 45 minutes.
45?
If they're comfortable, then you can go longer.
Yeah.
So, we will, Lord willing, be investing into nicer chairs. Actually, if you've been to the Temecula building, we would like them to be a little more long-term comfortable than the ones there.
Yeah.
You cut me off.
What'd you say?
It depends on what you put in the gold envelope.
There you go.
Rob.
We're thinking about taking a Q2 from modern theaters and having lounge chairs in the front, you know? And
that's just to reward the people coming early.
That's the gold ticket people. We're being sarcastic. I'm
Rob.
Sorry.
So we only have phase one completed. What
will
be the plan for baptism?
We will use the
what do you call that
existing
thing?
Tank.
The existing portable tank in the meantime. And we might choose to then, if space permitting, we could do it indoors. Because who's going to say no? It's our building. So, yeah, we would then incorporate it as part of the worship service for a season.
If we have a piano, we won't put it on the piano. So, yeah.
Under.
Yeah, under.
Susie. The things I've heard have been generally positive when the ice cream truck and others. Greg, I think you've talked to them, so why don't you say?
Yeah, some are very excited that the church is coming in. They're super excited that condos are not going in. Mm-hmm. So we've had really favorable feedback from the community.
They're much more excited about what we're not than what we are.
Yeah. That is very true. It's very true. Anything else?
These are great.